Tell me about the network integration evaluation and what exactly you were testing.
We're trying to test the newest technology that we can get from industry with about a 3,800 man force out at the White Sands Missile Range. It's a unique opportunity for us to get feedback from soldiers early on the systems that we're trying to field downrange.
Now, I saw some pictures, and we have those linked up at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. And this was a test in combat conditions out in the desert, giving you some pretty real-time feedback, I would imagine.
Absolutely. And again, anytime we can get systems in the hands of soldiers early, we get the feedback that we need to be smart buyers of information technology, because, you know, it's hard to get IT through the processes that we have.
What kind of things were you testing out there?
We're testing new handheld systems, systems that allow soldiers to identify where they are, to link it into a network, to build radio sets and an entire network from soldier all the way up through their brigade.
So you were one part of this was the Joint Tactical Radio System, the Jitters program. What's the response there? What did the people who tested this have to say in particular about that?
Well, again, some of the reports aren't out yet, but I can tell you that the Rifleman Radio, which is part of the handheld, manpack, and small form fit program for JTRS, allowed a soldier to have not only comms on him, but provide his position location information into the network. And some of the feedback we got on that was pretty positive.
Now, not all the feedback was positive, I imagine, because you can't please everybody. Whenever you gather 3,800 people together, no matter what they are, there's going to be a cross-section of people who aren't happy. What do you do with the feedback that's different than, hey, I really like this, which is pretty obvious that you keep doing that? What do you do with the feedback that goes the other direction?
Well, one of the great parts of this evaluation is that industry can bring in new technology, and day one, if something a soldier sees something that they don't like, trust me, they'll tell the industry partner or the government sponsor of that what's wrong with it, and we can make changes up front and early. Great part of this is that in a normal long-term acquisition program, that would be at the 4, 5, or 6 year mark. Now we're about 6 months into an evaluation, and we get feedback right away. It's a great process.
I have industry people on all the time that say that that's the biggest problem that they have is they don't get access to the end users. Is that what you were going for here, to tie the end users to the industry people to connect them so that you can get that feedback loop, you know, right directly between the end user and the vendor?
Absolutely. That and to, again, make us smart buyers to say, is this really the requirement we needed? We did that with the Net Warrior program, saved a lot of money, and we'll get the soldiers the newest technology as fast as we can.
What are you seeing from industry as far as innovation goes? A lot of talk in the acquisition community about innovation, and yet there are some situations where agencies, not necessarily DOD agencies or branches, but federal agencies are saying, show me something innovative, and the vendors don't really have any guidance there. Are they bringing you the kinds of things that you need to meet your ultimate mission, which is to serve the warrior on the battlefield?
Absolutely. And if you look at the handheld space right now, soldiers really, no kidding, young soldiers have iPhones in their pocket. That's the kind of technology, that and Android phones, that they want to see. The soldiers can use that. So if we can apply that technology that industry is leading on into our battlefield and into our network, we'll be way ahead for and give them a capability that they require.
Now, that's a comfort level. Of course, you're right, that younger troops, younger soldiers are comfortable with. Those of us in, I imagine, our generation, who are kind of a step above that, are maybe not as comfortable with the fact that you can just pull something out of your pocket that you bought in a store and bring it, at least something like it, online on the military's network. What is that transition like as far as bringing people along in the culture that it's okay for these devices to resemble something or in some cases be something that somebody is already comfortable with on a consumer level?
Well, it's really great for our training capability. Before, and I've fielded many programs for the Army, before we would have that training link up front that would take us a long time for a system to be adopted, and sometimes it was never adopted. So what we're trying to do is make the training up front something that soldiers already used. So it looks like, thinks like, you know, an Android phone that they would use on a regular basis. And again, there is a generational piece here. so that you know, folks, again, of my generation that didn't grow up with this technology may have a little adoption problem, but, wow, I'll tell you, it, the feedback from the young soldiers is great.
The comparison that I heard not too long ago was from Admiral Fred Lewis talking about modeling and simulation, and that a lot of the training simulators include controllers that look like video game controllers. And I thought at first, well, that's kind of ridiculous. Why don't you make these people learn how to run this equipment? And then when he explained why, you know, people have been playing these games since they're kids. They're very comfortable on this, and why not essentially speak in their language? Is that what you're headed for here, too?
Oh, absolutely. In a lot of cases, we have applications that fit on the handhelds where soldiers will just take a look and go, I know how to use that already. I just click on the application, it pops up, and the information is displayed. And leveraging things like Google Maps, and it looks like something they already use and gives them a capability right away.
I mentioned that this is the second network integration evaluation. How many more, or what is next on the timeline for NIE?
The next NIE is NIE 12-2 will take place in the April-May time frame, again, out at White Sands. And we looked at the first one as a crawl phase. NIE 12-1, it just happened as a walk, and by NIE 12-2, we'll hopefully be running as fast as we can.
I would like to get in touch with you after that one runs and hear what happened, if I could, Colonel.
I'm looking forward to it.